The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk and bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. Our studio guest is Mr. Darren Wheel of Intune PR, but we've got another guest that we caught up with earlier and pre-recorded that is it's something that we really need to be aware of, which is mental health issues. And I caught up with the lovely Kerry Hotchkiss, who's training manager of West Kent Mind. So I tell you what, why don't we hear what Kerry had to say?
We need this.
Yeah.
Press the button, Paul Andrews.
I did.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Kerry Hotchkiss. Kerry is the training manager for West Kent Mind. Good afternoon, Kerry. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm well, thank you. Thanks very much for having me on the show. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, kind of holding it all together. And, and I guess that's something we're going to talk about in a moment.
But absolutely.
First of all, can you give us just a very brief overview of your organisation, West Kent Mind?
Yes, of course. So West Kent Mind is a local mental health charity based, obviously, in West Kent. Mm. Now, we're affiliated to Mind, the national charity, and I'm sure that many of your listeners will have heard of Mind. Mm. So Mind is a national organisation. They campaign for better support, improved mental health services, better access to services, wider awareness and understanding. Mm. And there are around 120 local minds, of which West Kent Mind is one.
Okay.
Now, we're all affiliated to the national charity. We have the same values and visions, but we work directly with people on a local level in the community to directly provide support for those who are experiencing problems with their mental health. We operate independently. We're not funded by the national charity. So it's really important to note that we have to raise funds at a local level within the community in order to offer the wide range of support services that we do offer, with the aim of helping people to get well, to stay well, and to thrive.
Yeah.
And that's things like affordable counselling, community support groups, peer support groups, therapeutic activity groups. We also have a solace cafe for those at risk of developing a mental health crisis.
Okay. One of the many things I love about your organisation, and it's one of the few organisations that does this, and I absolutely love it, is your bottom up. You're a local organisation with a structure around you that can help you on a national basis, but everything happens from the ground up. And not enough organisations do that, in my opinion, of all kinds, even business organisations. You know, they get big, they manage everything from the centre, they lose touch with the bottom level of things and the customer interface or the client interface or the patient interface or whatever their interface is. They lose touch with it because everything's directed from the top down. West Kent Mind and all your affiliates in the other areas, I love it. I love that you do it from the bottom up because that is the most powerful thing you can do. You're engaged with your clients around you in your community. And I love that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We really are working with and for our community. And that's, you know, our fundraisers are also the people that we support. So it really is working at that community level.
Okay. Now, obviously, mental health issues have always been something that people are aware of. And obviously, I think, and this is my opinion, I'm interested in hearing yours, from what I've seen due to the pandemic, the lockdown, and all the economic crashes and all the other things that have happened, you know, fear over the virus itself, fear over vaccines, you know, there's just so many things going on. And I think that one of the things that has not really been appreciated here is the effect on mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. The last 15 months have had a huge impact. As you say, the financial implications, businesses have closed or you know, really struggled. There's uncertainty for individuals around employment, those financial insecurities. And we're still in the depths of it. It is hard to truly measure the impact, but we do know that as of last summer, over half of adults said that their mental health had been affected, you know, by lockdowns, isolation, things like bereavement and loss and fears over the future. It's a period of massive uncertainty and change. And uncertainty and change does have a huge impact on our mental health, especially when we feel as if we have little or no control over what's going to happen next.
I think you nailed that. Even from a more day-to-day point of view, as a manager, as a leader, allegedly, of people, one of the things that I've always been fundamentally aware of is people only feel comfortable if they feel in control of their environment. If they have no say, it's a bit like I was saying earlier about these top-down things. You know, when I worked in corporate, we had loads of euphemisms for what it was like working in top-down organisations that involved horse manure and mushrooms and stuff. And I'm sure you've heard them all. But I always felt that people in general just felt excluded if they had no control over their life, if they had no control over their working day.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be hugely impactful, feeling as if we have no control over what's happening around us. There are things we can control, and that's a really good tool for looking after our mental health, trying to focus on the things that we can control. But even so, that level of uncertainty, that level of feeling out of control, it can have a massive impact on our mental health. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. And of course, and I'm not sure where mind sit with these kind of things, but of course we also have other health related issues like dementia and Alzheimer's and all those kind of things that affect people's mental well-being, and so there just seems to be so many things happening at the moment, and looking at it from an employer's point of view, one of the things, as someone that employs people, one of the things that I'm acutely aware of is you're not always sure if people are happy, if they're suffering, you know, and sometimes you don't even want to ask because some of it's just private. It's just their private life and they don't want to talk. Why should they talk to you about their private life? Yeah. But of course it has an impact on their well-being and their ability to function at work.
Yeah, absolutely. It has had a huge impact for businesses, and as I mentioned, and supporting and protecting the mental health of our teams, of our employees, of our staff, it has to be at the top of our agenda. Businesses can only thrive again if their people are thriving. Poor mental health affects productivity, it affects creativity, it affects our motivation. It is essential that businesses, you know, play their part in trying to keep people well at work. And even though we're potentially coming to the end of restrictions, even that is with its own uncertainty and change. Is it really all going to happen on the 21st of June? We mentioned that idea of uncertainty, of feeling out of control affecting us. We are hearing that people are very concerned about going back into workplaces. And so the effects on our mental health aren't over. The impact of the pandemic on our mental health isn't over. Businesses do need to recognise that support has to be put in place for people who might be struggling.
Yeah. I totally agree with everything you said. I want to ask you a kind of difficult question, and if it's not your field or you don't feel that you want to answer it, then I'm quite happy with that. But one of the things that I want to try and quantify a little bit is what we actually mean by mental health. Yeah,
because
you know, it starts at one end with feelings of being out of control, stress, worry, anxiety. And you do get a lot of people whose approach to that is, well, pull yourself together. it won't be that bad forever. You know, just work your way through it. And of course, I guess in reality, there is some element to that, you know, that in life, there's always problems. And the more resilient we can become and the more adept at coping with those anxieties, the better we will be. And some of that comes down to us personally managing it. But of course, it's a continuum, isn't it? And it can build on itself and get worse. Do you have a definition of mental health?
So, I mean, essentially, Paul, at its most simple, it's how we think, how we feel, and how we behave. And we all have mental health. If you mention mental health to some people, they might understand mental illness. So if you ask do we all have mental health? Some people may say, no, we don't, because they're hearing mental illness.
Yeah.
In effect, we all have mental health,
yeah,
just as we all have physical health.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It is on a continuum, and we can, ideally, we all want to be living in good mental health, in optimum mental well-being. Mm. Now, that can mean that we have a diagnosis of anxiety or depression, for example. Mm. But because we have a good support network in place, perhaps including professional support, mm, we are still able to live in good mental health, in, yep, optimum mental well-being. And as you say, it is a continuum, because things happen, circumstances change, our health changes, just as our physical health isn't static. Yep. Our mental health is fluid, and it can change. It does change over time.
Yep.
So it's completely normal for people to experience periods of poor mental health.
Mm.
And those periods of poor mental health may kind of deteriorate to the point where somebody actually does meet the criteria for a diagnosis of a mental health condition such as anxiety, depression, or something else.
Mm.
Yes, absolutely. As you say, it's a continuum. We all have mental health. It's not static. And just like our physical health, it changes over time. And just like our physical health, we need to look after it. So we're aiming to get that parity of esteem between physical and mental health, that same degree of regard, that same degree of taking care of it, looking after it, putting things in place to protect it. Businesses have physical first aiders.
Yep.
So that if somebody injures themselves physically, there is somebody there to carry out immediate first aid and then guide them to professional support, take them, yep, to A&E, whatever needs to happen following that.
Mm.
Businesses really should consider also having mental health first aiders,
yep,
who are trained to deliver that first initial level of support for somebody, perhaps somebody at crisis point in distress, mm, or perhaps somebody who's just first starting to show those signs of becoming unwell, of experiencing a period of poor mental health.
Mm.
So mental health first aiders are trained to notice the signs and symptoms that someone might show when they're starting to become unwell. They're trained to confidently have conversations about mental health with that person, and then to guide them onwards to the appropriate support. They're not there as therapists or counselors or...
Yeah.
They're not there to diagnose even, but they're there to support somebody empathetically and non-judgmentally and then guide them onwards to further support. And, you know, to me, that's a crucial thing for an organization, mm-hmm, having that same level of support for mental health as we do for physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at that and kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit, but taking on board what you said, you know, a staff with a physical problem, you can see, and there's not a lot of ambiguity in it. You know, if they cut themselves, they cut themselves. If they're doubled over in agony with a stomachache, they're doubled over in agony with a stomachache. It's not quite as easy with mental health issues and stress issues and anxiety. You know, we're very reluctant to go, you're all right. And quite often people go, yeah, I'm fine. And then what do? You go, no, you're not, you bloody liar. it is a very difficult thing for those of us that aren't trained, which is like 99.99% of us, to actually even, you know, I think quite often we notice there's something wrong with somebody, but we're very reluctant to try and guess what it is. And we're also quite reluctant to go, are you all right? In case they tell us, and you know, if they suddenly go, no, I'm not all right, and bleh, you go, what do I do about that? You know, so
yeah.
I think the crucial thing that I want to explore with you now is how we as managers, we as business owners, we as people trying to look after our staff, what we can do, what you can do to help us with training us to recognize symptoms and to deal with them in a proper way and in a way that's helpful.
Absolutely. So that support, we can all offer that support. And you're right, sometimes it feels very hard. We may never have had that level of conversation with somebody. We may feel that we will just be rebuffed, that they'll say, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking from personal experience, I've had problems with my own mental health in the past, and I didn't want to talk about it. And that's part of what led me into working for a mental health charity, that I hadn't felt able to talk about the fact that I'd had episodes of depression and was experiencing panic attacks and other symptoms of anxiety for fear of being judged, for fear of people thinking that I couldn't perform in my role. But as businesses, we can enable people to be more open and have more honest conversations. And that starts with awareness raising. So ensuring a general level of awareness and understanding across the organization. And then that moves into equipping line managers, small business owners, HR professionals with the tools to have these conversations, to notice the signs and symptoms, and the tools to have the conversations in the right way. We offer a full package of training services for any size of business, even, the micro businesses, small businesses. And it starts with that kind of awareness raising of what might you notice in somebody, because it is harder. It can be harder to notice. And some people may be working very hard not to let the cracks show, not to let anyone else see that they are experiencing problems. There are things that we can pick up on. And then, so we start with that general level of awareness raising across the organization of whatever size, moving into how to have effective conversations, effective listening, active listening, empathy and, non-judgmental listening. And it takes into account the nature of the business, the size of the organization, the nature of the role that people are in. Sure. For example, are they speaking to clients who themselves have been impacted by COVID? And that can take its toll on us. If we're supporting other people, that can have a massive toll on our own mental health.
So
looking at how to have these conversations, how to put some support in place internally, and how to guide people then to access further support if they need it.
It's such an interesting subject, isn't it? And there are so many elements to it, because in the past I've suffered from mental issues that I've had to deal with, and quite often right up front you don't even want to admit it yourself. So somebody coming along going, "You're all right," you go, "Yeah, but fine." And they go, "Oh, well, you're not your normal self." "Yeah, I am. Leave me alone." And even within yourself, I'm just worried about that. I'll sort it out eventually. And then, but of course, it doesn't. The subconscious mind is a strange beast, isn't it? It really is. Sometimes I find I'm incredibly stressed by stress, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure what I'm stressed about, but my shoulders are hunched, I'm grinding my teeth, I've got a pounding headache, and I'm going, I don't even know why I'm doing all of that, but the fact that I'm doing that is making it worse. So I think it's amazingly helpful to be able to go somewhere and get professional guidance in how to handle these situations. And I think that is crucially important for us as business owners and managers, and just people that care about other people, basically.
Definitely. The tools that we, the skills and knowledge that you learn on a training session with us, it might be aimed at supporting members of your business, but it doesn't stop there. You can use those same tools and skills and confidence and knowledge and understanding it with your family, with your friends, within your community. Although it's, based on workplace well-being, actually you're learning skills that are completely transferable to other areas of your life. And things are better than they were. They're better than certainly they were a number of years ago when I was in the corporate world. But there is still work to be done about having those open and honest conversations, and knowing that it's okay to say, "I do think something's up. I've noticed that you're not quite yourself, and I'm not going to push it, but I'm concerned. I'm here if you'd like to talk to me. Maybe not today, but how about we check in again in a week, because I am worried about you." So just giving people tools like that to be gently persistent and patient and try and take it at the other person's pace and make sure they know that support is available.
I was taken with what you said as well about transferable skills, because of course what you're actually talking about here is communication and empathy skills, which are useful across the board.
Absolutely.
In any field of life, really, but in business, it's not just about looking after the mental health of your colleagues and the people you work with. With better communication, empathy, and listening skills, you can get on better with your clients. You can get on better with your customers. You can get on better with a lot of people. Because one of the things I think we're really bad at as a society is listening and understanding another person's point of view. Many years ago, I was a Dale Carnegie instructor. Have you ever come across Dale Carnegie? How to win friends and influence people.
Right.
Yeah. And I was a Dale Carnegie instructor running courses. And one of the very first principles of the Dale course is try to see things from the other person's point of view. Okay, and you couldn't imagine how much aggravation that principle caused. Yeah, well, what if they're wrong? Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, what about Hitler? Yeah, it doesn't. The whole point is you can't affect a solution unless you understand where they're coming from. If you think that that they're just evil, not many people. Going along thinking, do you know what? I'm really evil, me. I'm really evil. They actually have a reason why they're behaving the way they are. And it might not be a rational reason, but it's a reason. And for us to understand that is the start of being able to address it.
Yeah. We all have our own frame of reference, our own window on the world, and that's formed by childhood experiences, by our environment, by all sorts of things. And yes, empathetic and non-judgmental listening is about stepping out of our own frame of reference and seeing it from the other person's point of view, as you say. And we're all affected by things differently. Some people may have actually got on quite well over the last 15 months, maybe enjoyed working from home, maybe enjoyed a bit of downtime, a bit more family time, a bit more time in the garden. Some people will have found ways to cope and actually even thrived. Other people may have been in very similar circumstances and really struggled. We're all different, and it's really important that we recognise that.
It's really interesting. I'm smiling, not that people can see it. It's really interesting you mentioned that, because literally half an hour ago, I started reading a report from the United States about certain sections of young people, I think under the age of 24, had actually thrived mentally better during the lockdown, because they don't have to get up so early. and young people have a tendency to be night owls. And I was certainly like that when I was a youngster. Yeah. I could lay in bed till 1 o'clock, but I could be up and partying at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. And it was just saying, because of lockdown, people have been able to just stay in bed. They've actually coped with it a lot better. So you're right. It's a whole series of different approaches to it. I just want to finish off, Kerry, if I may, with some practical stuff on the courses that you do. Do you offer open courses? By that I mean, if there's only one or two of us, I can't afford to hire a whole training course for two of us, but can I join a course with other people?
Absolutely. We run open courses that are anything from sort of 1 hour awareness raising sessions to 2 hour sessions around a specific diagnosis or mental health condition, for example, depression or anxiety, all the way through to training people as mental health first aiders. So we run those either as private courses for large organizations, certainly as open courses for individuals or small businesses, business owners, micro businesses, absolutely. And all of the information about our training courses is on our website.
Fantastic.
That's www.westkeptmind.org.uk. If anybody is interested, they can't see anything sort of relevant now, but they want to know more about how they can support the well-being of their colleagues, their clients, their friends, their family, get in touch with us, training@westkentmind.org.uk.
Fantastic. Kerry, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Just a quick note to my listeners, please send them some money. they need some fundraising.
Absolutely. Yes, yep. Please. Thank you.
But do check the website out. We've put a link to the website on the radio website, and that will stay there forever. So if you want to find it, it's there. And then you can go into the westkentmind.org.uk website and check out all the things that they do, all the work that they do, and their training courses. Kerry Hodgkiss, Training Manager of West Kent Mind, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Kerry Hodgkiss from West Kent Mind with a very powerful message and a lot of information and things that we need. And as we discussed in the interview, as we unfold from the lockdown and go back to work, there's going to be a lot of mental health issues that are thrown up.
Exactly. And when you've been in the home, working from home, as many of us have, just getting used to getting back in the car and leaving at a certain time and all this is...
And dealing with other people.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of us have been stuck at home all on our own, yeah. You know, maybe just immediate family to talk to, or the cat or the dog or whatever, or the parrot.
I would think there's a lot pigeon. Of almost agoraphobia happening, because we have been...
There'd be people scared of spaces as well.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, of course. Is that that is agoraphobia?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Very amusing.
You didn't see what I did there, did
no,
you?
No, because you know why? Because I've reached that low ebb where I need a ginger biscuit. They're right in front of me, but I've still got to wait for...
There's a custard cream next to it as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. 20 minutes I've got to wait, though, because of my thyroid tablets on an empty stomach.
It's
a real regime, you know, keep on.
Absolutely.
Did you know that EE has boosted 4G coverage on Sheppey, and Whitstable is set for summer upgrade 2?
Oh, no, that means you can text me now.
I know. Any time of day or night.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've noticed that our Wi-Fi has been
4
bad.
O'clock in the morning, Darren. 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a text from a disco in Spain going, I'm next up on the karaoke. What shall I play? What shall I sing? I don't know. I'm asleep. Sorry.
Wake me up before you go-go.
There's no flies on him, is there?
I can't remember what he suggested now, but it was I was very good.
I suggested that you went away.
I was extremely good. But, I have noticed our Wi-Fi is quite bad. So Whitstable is set for summer upgrade along with Sheppey. And the mobile phone network has upgraded its 4G coverage on Sheppey, and Whitstable will see improvements this summer. And the company, which is part of the BT Group, say the move to add capacity to its network comes ahead of an expected surge of visitors as holiday makers look to stay in the UK rather than risk jetting abroad. And the extra mobile capacity will bring better coverage and increased data speeds in high demand areas, and is part of an upgrade programme to popular destinations across the UK, which include the likes of Brighton, Bournemouth and Blackpool. Ayup.
Fantastic, thank you.
I'd like to go to Blackpool. I haven't been for years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. You know what I'm going to do now?
Time?
I'm going to do the FSB news.
Shall I interrupt?
And what you're not going to do is interrupt me while I'm doing it.
I just
right?
go into a little, you know.
You go into
daydream.
A little bubble, don't you?
Yeah.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to go through here. What I'm going to do is give you a lot of stuff on webinars and workshops that are taking place. And at the end of it, I will give you the link where you can find out details for all of them and where you can book your place on what are mostly, I think, or all of them, in fact, are free events. There's how to take control of your cyber security. This is taking place on Thursday the 17th of June at 10 a.m. Are you cyber security policies and practices up to date? After a year of remote working, it's time to reevaluate how your firm is protected. So 17th of June, 10 a.m. Securing EU citizens' rights and points-based immigration systems. This is Thursday the 10th of June at 11 a.m. The Home Office will provide an overview of the points-based system and will update the group on the EU settlement scheme. There's a roadmap out of lockdown on Tuesday the 15th of June at 10 a.m. It's your roadmap out of lockdown, where next for employees. This webinar will explore how small businesses can embrace the lessons learned over the last 12 months. Also on Thursday the 17th of June at 1 p.m. Equality, diversity and inclusion in the workplace. This free panel event aims to provide small businesses with tangible ways to improve diversity within their businesses and why this can lead to increased business growth and success. And then on Wednesday the 14th of July, that's the 14th of July, is Maidstone Virtual Networking, 4 to 5pm. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with the Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. All of those webinars can be found and booked by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. The transition period came to an end on December the 31st, 2020. If you're a UK business which trades with Europe, you will need to change your procedures and complete additional paperwork. The FSB has a transition hub which you can find out all the advice you need by going to fsb.org.uk/transition hub and checking that out. You can also get security support when you need it with the FSB Cyber Protection. It's an online library of documents, fact sheets and guides covering everything from cyber security policies to dealing with malicious emails. If you're unsure about anything, our team of data and cyber security experts are just a phone call away. Plus, our limited insurance protection gives you reassurance at no extra cost. You can find out more by going to fsb.org.uk/membership/cyber protection. There's an on-demand webinar which is productivity tips for home and hybrid working, and you can find that by going to firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/keep-connected-productivity. There's also a on-demand webinar on how to launch an e-commerce business, firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/how-to-launch-an-e-commerce-business. And there's also Grow Your Business with Better IT. Once again, firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/grow-your-business. Those are on-demand webinars and podcasts that you can listen to at your leisure and find out tips, hints and advice on doing those things. There's also some resources on how to make your tax return less stressful with our tax experts' top tips for filing your self-assessment. You can go to fsb.org.uk/resources7tips for completing your self-assessment. And that's the FSB news for this week. Talking about tax, driving me potty listening to a bunch of people on social media that couldn't spell the word tax, ranting on and on and on about this nonsense G7 thing that they've just come up with for standardised corporation tax. The amount of people, especially MPs, that have no idea whatsoever how tax works and what the different taxes do. They just mindlessly...
But mainly because MPs don't tend to run their own businesses.
Well, exactly.
They don't know what it's like.
You know, there's 12 thousand pages of the tax code, and the amount of people that will blast on and go, oh, so and so hasn't paid their tax, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Ask our guest Darren, who's lovely.
At the moment, listener, she's got a used tea bag on the top of a pen, and I think she wants to deposit it in the bin.
Please may you pass me the bin, Darren, over there on the left.
It's under the table near your foot.
Things aren't what they used to be, you see. We used to make the tea in the kitchen, and this is all adjustment. Thank you very much to COVID.
You can't get the staff.
Will this pen ever work again?
Yeah. I had a tweet earlier on, and I meant to read it, and I hadn't, and which is very remiss of me, from the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. And she says, I'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunk for the Care in Kent at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the home care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. So thank you for that, Kim, and we certainly will give your lovely, lovely staff a wave. Have you got any more tweets that need reading?
I was just looking. Ibiza Fitness Food say hello, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, and also the lovely Darren. We're here in our Manston kitchen cooking up some beautiful meals, which are all delivered to your home or to your office. And also, if you're a business back at work, why not treat your staff to some beautifully home-cooked meals from IFF Kitchen?
I had chicken fries and
cauliflower
cheese. I could
tell by the way
cheese.
You walked in this morning, you had chicken
and cauliflower cheese. That's what I had.
How lovely. Delicious. Yeah. You should bring some in and then when you pop out, I
No, I'm not bringing
some.
It in. No, I'm not bringing it in. I don't share it with anyone. I need to know about kinky knickers.
Oh, well, that's Darren's, kinky knickers. Paul wants to know. He's a bit shocked. He's on my Twitter feed.
Is this grow your own kinky
Apparently
knickers?
Apparently, there's a gusset in the box, so you might have to grow your own. I don't know.
Do they grow from gussets? Is that what you
do? I think I better start explaining here before whatever reputation I've got goes in a completely wrong direction. I brought that on because, firstly, knowing you two, that you'd be interested in it. And the second...
Hang on a minute. Why would we possibly...
glossing
He's casting
that one
nasturtions
over.
Again.
He is,
One thing about PRs, or at least PRs like me, is that we do struggle.
You all wear knickers?
We struggle not to actually PR anything that moves. So we like lots of things. And, you know, I like local businesses. I like all kinds of music.
Velvet
I
cake.
Like a lot of charitable things and so on. And every so often I'll go out my way to get in touch with one of them and say, go on this particular communications channel if you can, or here's an introduction. And so I thought this thing, which has always interested me, started out Mary Portas, champion of high street, retail guru lady. She had a show which was about British manufacturing and the fact that in certain respects it was rather dying out. Mm. And so they went to a company called Hedden & Quarmby in Greater Manchester that had outsourced its production to China, which is a very big theme now. And they went into an empty factory, got some people who were on the job queue, and a seamstress who'd not been doing seamstressing for rather a long time, and came up with a new brand for knickers. And after a certain amount of thought, to make them stand out, I mean, this is a woman who's good at branding, for goodness sake, they've called them kinky knickers, which...
would certainly catch the eye.
Which works as a brilliant way to make PRs sound dreadful, but also, actually, is an eye-catcher. And the branding that they came up with was really, really cool as well. I've got a little empty box here, which didn't come as a result of a purchase. I got this as an empty one off
eBay. You're not wearing them today, though.
So they are definitely absent on this occasion.
It's lovely packaging.
Is he trying to tell us he's coming here commando?
Yeah.
Is that what he's telling us?
Yeah, well, it's the weather, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. Can we just backtrack? So you said they went to China...
They had outsourced to China in their normal production, but for this show, they started up a British enterprise.
Brilliant.
And it went so well that they got a high level of demand online, they got into various shops, ultimately they got into Liberty's, you know, the
fabulous,
sort of mega super fashionable thing. And although, as far as I'm concerning, not that I look into the world of knickers that often, they appear to have gone relatively quiet. I'm just very proud that they did what they did, and if I can along the way say to them, look, chaps, come on the Business Bunker, it's good for you, I will.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's, I'm now shocked at how much is made in China, and I have sent things back because they're made in China when they are pretending to be a British product.
Yeah. One of the problems with... being sensible for a moment, one of the problems with origin of produced stuff is that we now live in a globally connected world where the supply chain is from all over the world. You know, it's like car plants, for instance. You assemble a car in a country, but the parts that you assemble come from all over the world. It's like BMW. BMW's biggest car plant is actually in Sharpsville, in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's originally German, is it?
Well, they're German, and they're from Bavaria, but their biggest car manufacturing plant is in Sharpsville, which
you say
I think
Bavaria,
which is Tennessee,
Bavaria.
I think. But of course, it's just parts sourced from all over the world.
Wherever it's cheaper.
Yeah.
We had my new husband had a pint glass, and he's a bit of a, you know, he puts it precariously on a shelf as like a some sort of, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, like a to get me, really. And it sloshed on the floor and it absolutely smashed into smithereens everywhere. And I said to Gab, that is not how glass used to be made in the UK. Mm. It was obviously, you know, it was made somewhere, I don't know where, but shattered everywhere. Not normal at all.
Most glass products are made in the Czech Republic at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Romania is quite good on crystal, isn't it, as well, and things like that. But I don't know if it was from the Czech Republic, but it shattered. It was awful. It was very, very dangerous, actually.
Cool. I need to tell you about this. ZC Live, the social media and digital event, is online. ZC Live was historically an in-person live event in Kent with over 400 businesses in attendance. In October 2020, we hosted the event online for the very first time, and it was a huge success. This opened the door for so many more business owners, employees and freelancers across the country to attend, and the feedback was amazing. So we've decided to host the event online once again, and it's taking place on Friday the 18th of June 2021. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies and tips over a whole day with some top speakers. And they've got speakers from Twitter, Facebook, and the rest of the digital industry. You'll learn 5 proven digital marketing strategies that have stood the test of time that will give you more time, more results, and the confidence to get started even with no experience. You'll learn how to build your online presence and awareness, how to become a successful influencer within your field, how to turn your knowledge into a product, how to increase your leads via digital marketing, how to build your business brand to be noticed from anywhere in the world, giving you more opportunities. This event will change your online digital activities. It will teach you to stop broadcasting and to transform your limiting beliefs around the online world. It's entirely free to attend, as is the live event. And you can get your free tickets by going to eventbrite.co.uk/virtualZCLive2021. That's eventbrite.co.uk/virtualZCLive2021 for your free tickets for the 18th of June.
I referred earlier to the websites crashing, and it was the government one, and the New York Times as well, and CNN, Twitch, and it was the name of the cloud service company was called Fastly. I hadn't heard of them.
Right, okay.
But UK Gov, I mean, you know, so we've got to be careful, haven't we?
The internet was down.
It was.
Digital Twins and the Circular Economy is our first virtual business soundbite session, and it's taking place on Wednesday the 16th of June. 3 leading academics at the Kent Business School at the University of Kent will take the floor to explore how innovations in business science are driving increased productivity in our very first virtual business soundbite session. The speakers are Dr. Catherine Robinson, Professor Jesse O'Hanley, and Dr. Virginia Spiegler. There'll be an opportunity to ask questions and find out more about accessing the academic talent at Kent Business School and how to enhance your business. The Business Soundbite Session, Digital Twins and the Circular Economy, will take place on Wednesday the 16th of June at 12 noon, and it's via Zoom. You can find out all about it and book your space by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/digital-twins. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/digital-twins. Twins.
And shopkeepers in Sittingbourne say they are losing business due to the temporary closure of their high street. Mm. How can they close a high street?
Yeah.
It's closed from Station Road to Central Avenue between 10 and 4 p.m. on Mondays to Thursdays. This temporary closure was put in place in July last year, initially to help with social distancing rules during the coronavirus pandemic, but have caused uproar among business owners. The controversial pedestrian scheme is also in place in Sheerness and Faversham, and fed-up shopkeepers in those town centres have staged protests against the ban. Yes, I get some food from a local SME called Ollie Bongo's, dog food. It's not for me, it's for Cassie. And she was saying that trade was really down because people weren't able to drive to collect huge sacks of dog food and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I quite like a pedestrian high street, I have to say.
There was another bit to that, but I left it off because I didn't want you to start rating and raving when we were this close to the end of the
about
show.
Parking.
Yeah. The biggest problem was you can't park anywhere.
No, exactly. Well, yeah. And Faversham, they're building huge villages. I mean, you know, huge swathes of council, new housing, new build.
Did you read the email I gave you about that?
No.
In Faversham Creek. Well, we'll read it.
Oh, my goodness. It's my favourite place. We knew they would get their hands on this. Plans have been unveiled to build 45 homes on a disused railway works in Faversham, the long, thin stretch of redundant land, which is absolutely beautiful, located at the junction of the old Faversham Creek branch line, already has permission to be turned into commercial space. But Whitstable-based developer George Wilson has decided to scrap the approved plans for small business units and instead opt for a new housing project. He's hoping to get proposal. This is killing me reading this, which has been submitted this week, rubber stamped by Swale Borough Council. It will go through because they'll get all that council tax. The three-storey apartment blocks have been designed in Victorian and Edwardian style in an effort to stay in keeping with the architecture of the towns. Do you sense my...
Your frustration.
They will all look exactly the same.
Why do you think I gave it to you? It makes me laugh.
Go off, people. It's absolutely beautiful down there, and we go for walks, and there's a pub, and there's a nice village, the Ship Inn. It's a free house, and I said to Gavin, this is going to be built on it, just overlooking the creek. There's houseboats, and they've already built loads of those three-story townhouses. Awful.
Yep.
You've really upset me now.
I know.
Can't we talk about something nice?
Yeah, awards.
What about that velvet cake?
Yeah, awards. Awards that celebrate hard work, success, and are a great PR for your organisation.
I love an award.
If you're a winning business, you can enter free the Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021. There are 12 categories in each region, everything from customer service, startup business, small business, women in business. There's loads of categories. There's an awards ceremony, and it's going to be a joint awards ceremony with Maidstone Canterbury and Ashford Awards taking place in November at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. And the MC will be me. And I'm looking forward to it because I haven't done one of these for ages.
You'll soon remember what to do.
Yeah, probably. Well, I didn't remember the last time I did it, so it doesn't matter.
You know what? I really enjoyed that Kara person that had tweeted in earlier on about the workers.
Yeah, Karen Kent. Yeah.
This relates to awards as well. Now, I've won a couple of awards myself, one for diversity, one for community stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes you very proud.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of business leaders will be listening to this and thinking, yeah, awards might go in for whatever. Think about your staff as well.
Yeah.
One of the most neglected things in leadership and PR and so on is the simple act of thanking people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can take your staff and you've got an award and they can feel really valued in the company because you've won one, it's worth entering.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And there's loads of categories. So, you know, do put your business forward for it. If you want to find out more about it or to enter, it's businessawardskent.co.uk is the place to go. We're almost at the end of the show. We've got 2 minutes. So if you've got anything, Jules, you need to flash through it now.
I'm just choking about Faversham Creek. So I've read that one. A new producer and craft market launches at Maidstone Market this week in the latest stage of council plans to revamp a leisure centre. The new market will be run at Lock Meadow and will start on Saturday and supports the Love Your Local campaign, which aims to attract new audiences to shop at the market. And the launch day will be held between 9 and until 2 p.m. And one that I guess Darren might like. They've got the Lou Lewis Trio Band playing and lots of food stalls, and they will run every second Saturday from then on. And so that's Maidstone and lots of al fresco dining. Love food at Lock Meadow.
Fantastic. What's happening in Digital Leaders Week, I hear you ask?
Yes, what is happening?
Are you a leader in the UK's digital marketplace for ideas, initiatives and services? Is your organisation or your place? If the answer is yes to any of those, then here's your chance to demonstrate that. The 2021 Digital Leaders Week is now opening its doors for partners and speakers. As we unlock the UK's economy, this is the biggest gathering of people focused on three key questions our organisations face during this accelerated period of digital transformation. Those questions are what works, how to make it work, and where we can get advice. You can get involved. Those who are driving forward digital transformation in the UK will be sharing the very best practice, showcasing their services and offering solutions that are practical and real. Now, the Digital Leaders Week takes place between the 14th and the 18th of June, and you can find out all about it by going to the website digileaders.com/week. digileaders.com/week.
And final reminder, it's the Marsh Network this Wednesday. It's 10:30 a.m. The 9th of June, it's Manana. You can go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And their fabulous 10-minute speaker will be Stuart Weller, the famous professional magician.
You were talking about Stu earlier, weren't you?
I think he's probably got a little rabbit behind his ear.
Absolutely. The Kenwood Trust, the e-commerce element of the Kenwood Place website, has now gone live, allowing the public to book in experiences or purchase our merchandise directly with us. You can view the main website here, kenwoodplace.co.uk, or the specific shop page by going to kenwoodplace.co.uk/shop. Check it out. Have a look. There's loads of interesting thing going on down at the Kenwood Place location at Yalding, just outside Maidstone. You can go and go for walks with the alpacas. You can do archery or frisbee golf, would you believe?
Or archery with an alpaca.
You could do that.
Yeah.
I just want to give a big shout out to our guest, Darren Wheel of Intune PR, to his website, so that you can go and check out all the things that he's been talking about and all the things that he does. If you go to his website, which is www.intunepr.co.uk, you will be astounded and surprised and wonderfully informed and entertained by going to that website.
Possibly a little
intunepr.co.uk.
Yeah. Might be a little music.
He's got a Spotify list on there.
Yeah.
I was looking at it the other day. Yeah. He's got some interesting stuff on there.
I love Spotify.
Yeah. But we're kind of at the end of another show, thankfully, in terms of the technology. But it was lovely to hear from our two brilliant guests, Mr. Darren Wheel of Intune PR. Thank you so much, Darren, for being on the show.
And
his Dickie Bird tie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was a Dickie Bird theme in this show, wasn't there? From Pigeon Poo to Dickie Bird tie.
Yeah.
And all points in between.
And a googly.
A huge thank you to Kerry Hodgkiss, training manager of West Kent Mind, for reminding us about all the things that we need to know about in terms of looking after our mental health and the mental health of our colleagues and our staff. Thank you so much for that.
And the FSB.
And we had an FSB news roundup of all the events that are being staged over the coming next 3 or 4 weeks with the Federation of Small Business. But I want to thank you, the listeners out there, for joining in, for
and
tweeting us. And our sponsor.
And your sponsor, which was Tenterden, wasn't it?
Tenterden Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
It is.
You can't forget it.
No, I know, I haven't.
You do know it's 14:59 on mine.
Yeah, I know. You just wanted to wait the last few seconds, didn't you? Anyway, that's it for another week. We'll be back next week. We'll see you all then.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.